Hello, I'm Timothy B. Schmidt, and you're listening to the Rock Solid Podcast.
Welcome to Rock Solid, the comedy podcast for all things music, both new and classic. I'm Pat Francis, and joining me in the Zoom room today to promote his seventh solo album, Day by Day, please welcome singer, songwriter, and bass player for Eagles, Mr. Timothy B. Schmidt. How you doing, Timothy?
Pretty well. Thank you.
So the album is out right now. It's out on vinyl, CD, and download. So I just want people to know that. So they can go get it ASAP.
Well, I have to alter that a little bit.
Okay.
You have to pre-order the vinyl because there's a big vinyl shortage.
Okay.
In the entire world, you have to kind of get in line. But you can purchase it and it will get to you eventually.
All right. Well, pre-order it because if you're a vinyl fan and everyone is back into vinyl, you're going to want to own this album. So, Timothy, brand new album. And I got to tell you, this one, I think it's your best solo album.
Oh, great.
I really do.
Thank you.
How does it feel? You've been in the music business for so long and still doing great work like this. I mean, where does this come from that you can still write these amazing songs? I mean, it's pretty impressive.
Well, I don't know. I think, and I've said this before to others, I'm kind of a late bloomer and I have been all my life. And I, you know, back when, you know, a lot of great songwriters would have already had their heyday, easy for me to say, when they were younger. And it just didn't start happening until I got a lot older. I didn't even do my first solo show until I was in my 60s. And I've really sort of hunkered down and started really working hard at doing this. And I'm kind of getting the hang of it now.
Is it now? You use the word work. Is it work for you as a songwriter?
Yes and no. There's a lot of work. You can get like an, you know, your seed of an idea, say, and depending on, I don't know, you know, biorhythms or whatever's going on, it's sometimes it's a lot easier than others. Other times it's really hard. I mean, I've spent days on one line of a song before. Yeah. And so it kind of can go any direction, but fact is, you have to sit down and go to work. You really do. It is sort of it's not working like, you know, digging ditches, but it's definitely work. And I'm glad I have this work.
Yeah. And you have to flex that muscle for sure. Yeah. The opening track on the album, Simple Man, I was playing this song and I said to my wife, I said, doesn't this sound like Crosby, Stills, and Nash? And my wife said, it's not Crosby, Stills, and Nash? I said, no, it is not.
I'm a simple man, and I'm on my way to whatever lies ahead while aging day by day. And I don't know where I'll be next or if I'll be at all. I'm not privy to life's protocol. And I'm not seeking gold. I don't look for fame. That's all in my past now. It's another game. Though I no longer need the things I did before.
Simple Man is a fantastic song, and you just sound so good on it.
Oh, thank you. When I first started writing that song, I didn't get too far into it when I realized how I wanted to do it. Mm-hmm. And it, you nailed it. It's pretty obvious. I wanted it to be completely sung in harmony. So when I got, it's not all me on that record. I got two Beach Boy alumni, people, not the core group, but people who have worked with them, including one of the Beach Boy sons, to come and sing. And I think they probably thought, there's going to be a lead and some oohs and ahs and backgrounds and stuff. And I said, no, I booked 2 days into the evenings with you guys, because we're going to really roll up our sleeves here and we're going to sing every word. And it became obvious, what I started to say before that was, it became really obvious to me that it was very CSN. And so I decided to embrace it and just go for it. And that's what I did.
Well, it works. And in the video, we actually see three Timothys.
Yes. That was video magic. There was probably another time in my life where I would have sung all the parts, mm-hmm. but I wanted to make sure all the notes were clear and right on. So I got these guys who are honestly younger than me to do this. Yeah, I know it's hard to imagine, but I knew they would do a great job, and they really wanted to please me, as everybody did who came in to work on this album. And they did a great job.
And we have Lindsey Buckingham plays guitar on Simple Man.
Yes.
When Lindsey Buckingham comes in, do you tell him what you're looking for, or do you just let him improvise until you say that's it? How does that work?
Well, he's actually doing two parts. He's playing. I play the first lead, the first acoustic guitar.
Okay.
And I wanted it to be reinforced by somebody else's playing, and he's an old folk music guy, and we have that in common, and I knew he would do a great job. So I believe I'm on the right speaker and he's on the left acoustically.
Okay.
And as far as guitar goes, he brought in his old beat up Stratocaster that he's had forever. And I just kind of gave him a little guidance. And honestly, what we did was we played through the song a bunch of times and then I put it together. He trusted me to do that.
Nice.
That's how that worked.
And do you know Lindsey from, you guys have been in here in LA since the 70s. So you obviously know each other.
We know each other. I'd say we're really good acquaintances. We haven't done any hanging out or anything, but we're always, you know, I've had some other things I've asked him to do, and he not my recordings, and he's been really really kind, and I think we have a good chemistry. It's just that we're not super close. He came in and he wrote me later. He emailed me and told me what a great time he had, and I can say the same myself.
When I think of you and Lindsey together in the studio, you guys you're both similar in age, but you both look great for your age. Like, you both stayed thin. You both have your hair. You both still sing amazingly and play amazingly. So I don't know what you guys are doing, but keep doing it.
Well, I'm doing my best. That's all I can say.
When you write songs, are these autobiographical, or do you like to inhabit characters when you write?
Well, it depends. A lot of it, a good portion of my songs come from my own life and my own head and my own heart, I guess. And if I need to expand upon that, I might, you know, take a little, take some writer's liberty and expand on it. And it depends on what I'm thinking about, but most of it's just, you know, it's contemplating my existence, I guess. And then there are other things like, Grinding Stone. It's that has to do with the area that where my house is, where I live. And so I went a whole different direction on that and talked about who used to live there, which was the Chumash Indians, and how sacred and beautiful it still is, and how amazed I am that it's still there.
Abound. This is where the Chumash found life and destiny. Oh, it's bittersweet. On one hand, it's a sad old story. And on the other, it's a field of dreams. It's pain and glory.
How long have you lived there?
26, maybe going on 27 years, something like that.
It sounds like a place that you would want to keep in your family long after you're gone. I hope that's in place.
Well, it could be. I know that I finally figured out I'm not immortal. So I know that's coming, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah,
it's a beautiful place, and we've just redone the house. I'm not even in it yet after almost 2.5 years, but we're really close now. But rather than move somewhere else, the location is so great that we just redid our house.
Well, no one redoes their house if they're not going to be around for a long, long time. So,
yeah, that's right. Yeah.
One of my favorite songs in the album is Mr. X. Who is Mr. X? Is that Timothy's alter ego?
Mr. X. Oh, and I wouldn't say, well, sometimes tries to be my alter ego. I got it from a friend of mine who actually calls the concept is part X, but it didn't sound well in a song, so I called it Mr. X. It's really that part that we all have in us that makes us doubt ourselves, procrastinate, not sure if we could do this kind of thing. It's like this, like, it's sort of like the devil on this shoulder going, hey, what are you doing? You can't do that. You're not capable, that type of thing.
Yeah.
And I've found, I've written about that before, actually, in different forms, about how you really need to recognize the part you have inside your brain that tries to downplay your very being so that you can get to the positive stuff. The best way to me is to stare it down and say, I know you're there. I know you're not going away, but get lost.
Right. You know? Get out of here. Get out of here for now until I finish this song.
Yeah.
Your work with Eagles keeps you on the road so much. Are you thinking about, or do you want to do any solo shows to promote the album?
I do. I want to, but the Eagles, the year for the Eagles, the rest of the year is not solid yet. Yep. There's rumblings, so I don't really know exactly when I could do that. I'm thinking I'll probably be able to do it in late fall, maybe early winter. And I do want to do that. So we'll see what happens. I'm waiting to hear when the final Eagles thing is.
Yeah, I mean, because that's just a machine that just keeps going.
It's going really great so far. It's amazing to me.
I mean, it's been, it's 42 years you've been in the band now, 43?
I did my first tour with them in 1978.
So 44 years.
That's about right, yeah.
Yeah, wow.
We did take some time off there, but.
Yeah, a little bit of time off. Which I wanted to ask about that. You get into the Eagles, you have your first big chart success. I mean, you were in Poco for like 10 years, but no chart success as far as a single song. I don't think I'm speaking out of turn.
I think the highest we had gotten on the charts was about in the 40s.
Yeah.
With one or two songs, that was about it.
I've been thinking about all the times you told me you're so full of doubt, you just can't let it be. But I know if you keep on coming back for more, and I keep on trying, I'll keep on trying. And I've been drinking now just a little too much, and I don't know how I can get in touch with you. Now there's only one thing for me to do, is to keep on trying to get home to you.
But then you join the Eagles and The Long Run comes out, and I Can't Tell You Why is a song with a Timothy B. Schmidt lead vocal, and it goes to number 8, I believe.
I believe that's right. Yep.
Look at us, baby, up all night, tearing our love apart. Aren't we the same?
What was that like after all this, you've been putting in all this work, all these years, and finally you get in Eagles and here it is. Everyone knows who you are.
It's great. I think I can say we, meaning Poco, were really not upset. It was a mystery to us, but it's not in hindsight, why we didn't, chart. In hindsight, and it was a little disheartening to see this newer band 2 years later, Eagles, being played on the radio all the time. But it's really obvious to me, it became obvious to me, certainly after I joined the band, the Eagles, is that it just all has to do with song power and well-crafted radio-friendly songs. We were close in Poco, but not quite right there. And Don and Glenn especially really knew how to do that. So with I Can't Tell You Why, I brought them the original seed of the song. And I believe that they helped a lot in making it radio-friendly.
And you've sang that at every show since.
Yes.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like you get tired of it. When I've seen you guys, it doesn't seem like you're sick of it. And I'm not sick of it.
Well, I'm not sick. People ask all the time, what's it like playing these songs over and over every mm-hmm. night, the same songs? And they really take on a new life every night because of the audience reactions.
Yeah.
I mean, I see so many different emotions out there, including tears, you know?
So. Yeah. Because people fail to realize that there are people in that audience every night that have never seen the band.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's people like me that have seen you many, many times. And then there's someone that's, this is their first time. And if I can't tell you why isn't in the set list, that could be disappointing.
Well, it's always there. So I'm sure that there's a song here and there that some people wish they could hear, but we do a lot of songs. We play like with a small intermission. We do 3 hours. I mean, I didn't do 3 hours when I was in my 20s. You know?
No, you guys have stamina like no other band. It's just incredible. So then you have big success with The Long Run, and you're probably thinking, and correct me if I'm wrong, you're probably thinking, this is fantastic. This is the band I'm meant to be in now, and this is going to just keep going. And then, like you said, there's the big long break. That must have been disappointing.
It was way disappointing. I don't think it had been a complete 3 years after I joined when the band broke up. I was disappointed mostly because I really didn't see it coming because I'm used to being in bands ever since early high school, and there's always conflicts, big and little. It's just part of the deal. And I just didn't know how big they had already started having issues that I just downplayed and said, it's a band. So when it happened, it was big news to me, and I was actually quite sad about it. So
that's what I assumed. I just wanted to hear it from your lips. When you joined the band, were they having you rehearse and sing Randy songs? Was that ever a plan?
They never forced that.
Okay.
Like I, as I recall, I didn't want to sing Take It to the Limit. I didn't think I would do it justice, because although we both had high voices, the sound of our voices was way different. But they never forced anything like that on me.
And I wasn't assuming they would force it on you. I was just wondering if that was part of the deal. But again,
no, it wasn't really part of the deal.
Okay. So 1982, the first time I hear you solo is on the Fast Times at Ridgemont High soundtrack with your version of So Much in Love. Was that a song you chose, or did Cameron want you to sing that song? Cameron,
I'm sort of a fan of old doo-wop. That's probably the first stuff I heard that was actually, beginnings of rock and roll. That and some of those, like Everly Brothers tunes. But I just recorded that one day in my own little sort of demo studio, and Cameron came over to our house one night, and I said, let me play something for you. And he remembered it and asked if I would do that for his movie.
As we stroll along together, holding hands, walking on alone. So in love, as we stroll by the sea together, under stars twinkling high above. Ooh, wee, ooh. So in love are we two, no one else but me and you.
And then it was also on your first solo album, Play It Cool.
Playing It Cool, yeah.
Playing It Cool. Right. Yeah. When I see the Playing It Cool album cover, I always felt like that wasn't really you.
It was supposed to be tongue-in-cheek, okay. Tongue-in-cheek. That might be better. It wasn't supposed to be, it was just supposed to be spoofy. Like on the back cover, I'm at the beach, but you could see that I'm in the studio because of, there's somebody holding a palm leaf and you could see it's okay. You know?
Okay.
I guess it didn't really come off that well, and whatever, you know, I just tried it.
And it was, you were just going with it, see what stuck.
Yeah.
And then 1987, Timothy B., that's another, like, for me, when I see, this is what Timothy B. Schmidt looks like. I the long hair, just, it seemed like on that album cover, you maybe were glammed up a bit. You had an earring, dangly earring, and the hair was shorter. And I just feel like the stuff that you're doing now, like with the 2016's Leap of Faith album, and of course, Day by Day, I feel like this is more you. I feel like you're being the most you on these past two albums.
Past three albums, the 3 albums ago, which is an album called Expand. It was the first album I wrote and produced myself. You're right in a lot of ways. Before my past albums, I needed help. So I did a lot of collaborating, writing. But the truth is whenever I would hear some of these tunes from past albums, which is, I don't do very often. But I've always kind of liked the ones I penned myself better because it was more me. So I thought, like, what the hell? You know, I have nothing to lose. You know, this is not my bread and butter. Right. I'm just going to go for it. And that's what I've been doing. And I've really enjoyed it. I've really enjoyed the process. And the process involves nobody but me. And so, I don't have to compromise with another writer or see if somebody thinks this is okay. I really doesn't matter to me if somebody else thinks this is okay. If I like it, that's what I'm going to do. And it's really my own personal creative outlet. And I hope to keep doing it for as long as I can.
And the great thing about this is if someone like me gives you a compliment, the compliment goes 100% to you because this is your baby, singer, songwriter, you're doing it all. So,
yeah, it's nice.
On the Leap of Faith album, I just wanted to mention that I loved the song I Refuse. Good. I mean, I love the sentiment of the whole thing. It's just terrific.
Thank you.
Deep in the night when the shadows hide and the crickets are singing.
I want to hear these songs live, Timothy. That's what I'm trying to say.
Well, I actually used to do that song live the last time we went out. I have to figure out, like I said before, what the Eagles schedule is, and I'll do some shows.
Well, I live in Los Angeles, so I'm hoping when you do shows that obviously we would probably be one of the stops.
I hope so.
Let's talk about a new song, Where We Belong. It closes out the album strong. It's a strong closer. I love the Nina Simone name check.
I'm a patch of blue. You're a floating cloud. We are tried and true. Honey, behold.
And was this song written for a specific person?
Oh, I get a lot of inspiration from Jean, my wife. We've been together for 44 years.
Wow.
And we're still really tight. That song Heartbeat has her heartbeat on it. That's her heartbeat.
I love it.
I get a lot of, she's definitely a muse a lot of the time with my writing. And even if I'm not writing specifically toward her, because I don't always do that, I can take from that. Mm-hmm.
And is she the first one that you play these songs for?
No. Jean's really great in so many ways. When I first met her and I told her what I did for a living, she was so unimpressed that it was totally attractive.
Yeah.
She could sometimes be the last person that hears this stuff. She's got her own life. She's an artist herself. And we function together really well.
That's great. That's why it's been 44 years.
I guess, yeah.
If she was someone that you met and she knew exactly who you were, that probably would have fizzled out after a couple months.
Well, I think that would have been impossible to know exactly who I am. She right. still says I'm a mystery, so.
Oh, well, cool. So she's always surprised by you. I Can't Tell You Why is not the only Eagle song that you sing. Love Will Keep Us Alive was on Hell Freezes Over.
I was standing all alone against the world outside. You were searching for a place to hide. Lost and lonely, now you've given me the will to survive.
And the last Eagles album has two fantastic songs, I Don't Want to Hear It Anymore and Do Something, which you co-wrote.
Everything that I've been needing has been turned upside down. And now it seems the whole wide world's gone crazy.
I co-wrote it with Don and Stuart Smith, the guy who plays guitar on stage with us.
Timothy, the last Eagles album was 2007. You guys are still going strong. Is new Eagles music even a possibility for the fans? Are you guys even thinking about that?
I doubt very strongly that that's ever going to happen.
Okay.
But I've been surprised before. So okay. We'll stay open to it. But honestly, people want to hear those old songs.
They do. We
took out the songs that came from our last album because they're not as well received.
Well, that's how it goes sometimes. And the music you guys have written and performed all these years, it's like they're American standards. They really are.
So the new stuff comes from us, I guess, individually.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's good too, because there's a lot of individuals. People, if you want to find Timothy, you can go to timothybschmidt.com and on Twitter, it's at Timothy B. Schmidt. The new album is Day by Day. And Timothy, my last question to you is there a playout song from your entire career that you would like to suggest for me to end the episode with?
Oh, I wish I'd have been, had a heads up with that. through my entire career.
Or it could just be, could be one from the new album that we haven't talked about.
Well, why don't you could play, why don't you play Heartbeat?
All right. I will play Heartbeat and we'll hear Your Wife's Heartbeat.
And you will.
All right. Thank you so much, Timothy. Stay safe and well on the road. And everybody, please enjoy Heartbeat.
Thank you.
Bye, Timothy.
Take care.
Like it's been such a long time. It felt like a poem with a perfect rhyme. It was more than crazy good. We stoked that fire as the night rolled on. There was nothing else that mattered. We were on a mission right into dawn, hungry for love. Now the years have gone by and we still survive what others only try. 'Cause I can feel your heart. Who says love can't